Going to do a little, just a little sermon this evening on a subject that's probably everybody's dealt with at one point in time or another, probably multiple times in your life. And I was going through Colossians and took a little detour this afternoon. So all the sermon is right here. It's on the card. So this is it. Yeah, I can't really read it. I'm going to have to use these tonight. But the question is why? Why God? Why would this happen? Why would that happen? And we're just going to talk about that question, but that question as it relates to faith and really as it relates to your relationship with the Lord. And there's several verses that I want to look at this evening, but we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 11. I just want to get you to look at this and start thinking in this sort of mindset here, because I know we've all experienced, you know, something that happened. And the first reaction, maybe after fear or anger, is which would be, I guess, that's the second or third reaction. But after you're mad or you're angry at it or you're afraid of what happened, you start to question why did this happen? And this side of heaven, I don't know that you're necessarily going to get an answer to all those whys, or know that we all get an answer, or that we even necessarily need an answer. The second thing is, I don't think going to heaven is going to be putting God on trial, where we get to heaven and we say, well, now God, explain all this to me. I don't think you ever get a chance to put God on trial. But I want you to read these verses, and I'm just going to cover several aspects of this, because I think it's very, very common. But that question, when you put God on trial, when I put God on trial, it is impossible. I'll just say it, and then we'll build up to it and give you the verses. But when you or I put God on trial, it's impossible to put God on trial and still live in faith. You can't live in faith interrogating God about why he does what he does, or why he even allows the things to happen that he allows to happen. That they're mutually exclusive. Faith is trusting God, and if I'm interrogating God, I don't believe that he knows, or he hasn't given me a sufficient explanation on why this has happened. Let me give you a couple of verses. Hebrews 11 and verse 33. And we're going to read to verse 39. And I want you to notice the different accounts of these folks. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. And we're going to stop there. I'm going to ask you a question. The first part of these testimonies It's really good. I mean, it's a real blessing. I mean, they're trials, granted, they're trials, but to subdue kingdoms, to work righteousness, to stop the mouths of lions, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, I mean, that's in the fire, but Daniel and stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. That's I mean, it's sad to see people die, but to see them resurrected, wow. But then the whole story changes, and it says others were tortured. That's not fair. How do you go from this guy's faith brings him to a point in his life where he subdues kingdoms or he strengthens the weak hands, and this person's faith allows them to endure torture? And you and I, that's just not fair. Let's keep reading here. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. You get the idea. So here's, you have vastly different experiences under one umbrella, and that umbrella is faith. Through faith, this is what certain people accomplished. And through faith, this lady saw her child resurrected. But on the other hand, this fellow, through faith, was tortured to death. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem fair. So here's what I'm getting at. Here's what I'm getting at. All of these accounts fall under the common umbrella of faith. And if any one of these people were to look at one of the other people and say, why is my life not like that person's life? Why does my faith not look like that person's faith? Why does my faith put me in a fire? Why does my faith bring me to a point to be mocked cruelly, to be scourged, to be imprisoned? And that person's faith, she saw her child raised from the dead. That person's faith, that guy was able to strengthen weak hands. That person's faith, he was able to shut the mouths of lions. I mean, just looking at all the experiences, here's the point of all of that. They all fall under the umbrella of faith, but they're vastly different experiences. But they're all faith. And if any one of these people were to look at potentially, specifically, I should say, the ones that had the bad experiences were to look at the ones that had the good experiences, say, God, why isn't my life like that guy? Well, that's the end of their faith. That's where you put God on trial, and now you're no longer trusting God. Now you're interrogating God and forcing God to answer questions He's not going to answer. You might get an answer, you might not. But I want you to see this, because Paul says it this way. He says, it is a foolish thing. It is a foolish thing when you and I look across the landscape of humanity and people and even Christian experiences, and we start to compare our experience with their experience. And we start to say, well, what? How come I'm not like that? How come my faith didn't put me in that position? How come my faith keeps me here? How come my faith put me in this terrible position with my family, but they're having a great experience in their faith? Man, and the minute we start to, it's not even necessarily interrogating, it's just accusing God that He doesn't know what He's doing with our lives. And yet here in Hebrews 11, Paul just lays out, here's all these vastly different experiences. These are all faith experiences, faithful people. And it led them to vastly different conclusions in their lives, at least their death. Some of them died. And he says this at the end, verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith. Isn't that something? Let's pray. I want to talk to you about just this subject of why God? Why do we have to endure this? Why do I have to live through this? Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to my family? Why? And then when you start to ask that question, well, we'll get into it. I'll show you some more verses, but I think it's a pretty common question. I think it's a pretty common thing that everybody does. And I think it's natural, but the Bible has some things to say about it. Let's pray and we'll talk about it. Father, I pray tonight we could get some help dealing with a question that comes up in this evil world where we look around and we start to compare our experience with other people's experience. And in comparison, inevitably, we find someone we think that has a better experience than us and wonder why you've allowed it to happen. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us not just think about the question, but the answer to the question. Maybe not the answer to the why, but what is the answer to us? How do we stop putting you on trial and just live in faith and just trust you? And I pray you'd help us with this evening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I hope the introduction makes some sense. I think it's a common question. I think it's something that comes up probably several times in our lifetimes. We have, I think everybody in this room has had personal experience with this question of why God? Why did this happen? Why is this happening to me? Why did this particular thing happen? And the root of that question, the root of that thought, like I said, it's natural. I think it's something that comes up in our own thoughts, in our own flesh, in our own mind, in our own hearts. But the problem with that, the problem with it is, you and I can't maintain a relationship with the Lord. We can't maintain a relationship of trusting the Lord and walking by faith while we hold God on trial for something that's happened. Meaning, if I am holding God in judgment, why did you allow this to happen? That means I'm not trusting Him for the next step in my life. I may be mad at Him, I'm angry, but I always thought it was interesting in Hebrews 11. I won't read the verses again. But these vastly different experiences of people. And Paul says that the Holy Spirit through Paul says these are all experiences of faith. Some people died. Some people lived. Some people were put in prison. Some people were freed from prison. And it's all under faith. And if at any time in our lives, if we live under that critical spirit of God, number one, there's no, I don't want to say there's no guarantee. God is under no obligation to answer why. And secondly, I've said this before, but I don't think when I read the Bible, I don't see people going to heaven and then putting God on trial about their lives. Why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to me? God's never on trial. You learn that in Job. Now, we'll talk a little bit about Job, but I just wanted you to the introduction of this thought here. Look over in Romans chapter 9. I'll show you a few verses about this. There's a couple of principles at work. Number one is faith is mutually exclusive from this putting God on trial. Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. He says, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? See that? Why am I this way? You could say, why am I in this position? Why did this happen to me? Why did this particular thing come my way and it's not coming their way? And so Paul says, look, there are things in this life that God is under no obligation to answer. And there are things in this life that if we adopt an attitude like this, this critical attitude of God, I understand it's natural and it comes up, but if you live in that attitude, it is impossible to exercise faith while you hold a grudge against God. It's you can't do both. Either you're going to be mad at God or you're going to trust God and do what he says. All right, so Paul says, look, there's just some things here that you may look around and say, why this, why that, and you may not get an answer. And you, I don't see a lot of, honestly, I read through the Bible. I don't see a lot of times people asking the question why and then God explaining the whole thing to him. I hardly ever see that. You can read 42 chapters of Job and you don't find really an explanation of why God just allowed the devil to just wail on Job like he did. The Lord answers Job, but he doesn't answer Job the way, you know, okay, Job, here's what happened, here's why it happened, the devil and I had this conversation. No, the Lord just says, look, I created all of this stuff, and if you're going to question me, do you think I don't know what's going on? Do you think I don't have a handle on what's going on? Do you think I'm not clear-headed about all this? I know what's happening. And so when I read through the Bible, I don't find it. I don't find a lot of people just, God, why is this happening? And then God just kind of lays the whole thing out. On the other hand, I'll tell you the other side of this. I find a lot of times when God explains himself and people still don't care that he explained himself. For instance, here's the disciples and Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die. And 3 days later, I'm going to resurrect from the dead. And the disciples never understand that. And he explains it multiple times. And with the explanation, I mean, here's the point I'm making with that. You and I ask why. I think sometimes even if God explained it, it would just be like way over our head. We wouldn't get it anyway. Even if he sat in front of you and said, all right, look, this is what I'm doing. Here's this, here's this, here's this, and this is what's happening. And you and I would just be like the disciples, like, no, Lord, don't do that. We wouldn't get it. So most of the time, it's not about getting answers to the why questions. It's the Lord just giving you and I the right amount of light to take the next step of faith and just be faithful. And so here's I'll give you a couple of these other verses. It is easy, and you know this, and I know this, and I don't even know if I would qualify this as trusting God anymore, but it is easy to trust God when everything is great. And that's why I say I don't even know if I qualify that as trusting God. That's just like, everything's great, what do I have to trust him for anyway? But when things aren't great, immediately we start to compare our experience with somebody else and say, you know what, this bad thing is happening to me, but it's not happening to them. Why me, God? Why me? Why does this happen to me? And you know what the reality is? The reality is, if we step back, the thing that happened to you and me has happened to millions of people. And it isn't just why me, it's there's a million other people this has happened to. And we aren't excluded. And truly, God is really no respecter of persons. He is not a respecter of persons. And so the He gives us what we need to trust him. And if we live in that accusatory attitude toward God, it's impossible to walk in faith while accusing God of things that we think are unjust. I remember Mike Roberts. He preached this. I bet the kids remember this sermon. He's a missionary over in I don't know if I can say it. Anyway, I think I can. I've seen him on YouTube and stuff like that in sermons, but I won't say it. Anyway, he's a missionary somewhere, and he preached a sermon, and it was simply called "Life's Not Fair." And he kept saying that. He'd yell, "Life's not fair, life's not fair." And the kids came home saying, "Life's not fair. Don't they know life's not fair?" And then as adults, we seem to think life should be fair. And we know it's not. We know things don't get straightened out in this life, in this world. We know that. That's what the hope of seeing Jesus Christ is all about. Let me show you another couple verses, I guess. Revelation 14. Look in Revelation 14. Here's what patience is. This is a good definition of patience. So when something goes wrong, something seems, and I don't even say it is unfair. It's just things are unfair. Things are unjust. I wouldn't even say it seems unfair. It is. I mean, how many examples of that can you cite in an evil world? A million examples of that. There are things just aren't fair. Just not. But here's what faith and here's what patience is. And before I read these verses, I'll give you what we think. I think patience is. I think we think patience is going through trouble. And just going through trouble, and you know, now I've gone through that trouble, and now I've built up a certain amount of patience. Patience is not going through trouble, because everyone goes through trouble, but not everyone has patience. Everybody goes through trouble. Patience is when you go through trouble and you faithfully go through trouble and you keep doing the right thing in the midst of the trouble. That's patience. Revelation 14. Verse 11. It says, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Now watch this. Here is the patience of the saints. Now he's going to define it for you. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So these folks went through trouble, and they didn't lose sight of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to just go through trouble and just have trouble happen to you, because everyone has that happen. It's another thing to go through trouble and stay faithful and stay doing the right thing and continue to do the right thing in the midst of trouble. And the Lord says, that's patience. That's when someone they may have got angry in this thing. Lots of emotions going around. All that's happening, but they stayed faithful. They continued listening to what the light that they had. They continued to walk in the light that they had, and that's what he says. Here's the patience of the saints, and he just defines it. These are the ones that keep the commandments of God and kept the faith of Jesus Christ. And what's so significant about that is they just went through all this trouble. So here's the idea. Here's the idea, and it goes kind of another way of handling this "why God" thing. Again, it is impossible. It is impossible for you and I to put God on trial and also be faithful to God. I can't be God's judge and his faithful servant. Either I'm going to be God's judge, which I'm not, nobody's going to be God's judge. God isn't judged by any man. But if my attitude towards God is, God, you better answer my questions about why, I can't exercise faith in that attitude. I'm holding God to a position that he's not gonna be lowered to that position. He doesn't owe me an explanation for anything. And my trouble is no different than a billion other people's trouble in the world. So here's patience. You go through trouble, and not just go through trouble, you go through trouble faithfully and doing the right thing. That's patience. That's patience. All right, so it is just, and I said it before, I won't give you the verse on it, but I think y'all know what I'm talking about. When you and I compare our experiences with other people, it makes no sense. It makes no sense why this person who is wicked, who hates Jesus Christ, lives to be 90 years old, and this person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ dies in their 20s. It makes no sense. And you know what that is? That's unfair. It's okay. It's unfair. But that's this world. This world is an evil world. And things don't get straightened out in an evil world. They don't get corrected in an evil world. If it was all just, then the world wouldn't be an evil world. It would just be a just world. It would be righteous and everything would be right. But that's not the world we live in. Let me show you another one. Here's another verse we can look at. Look in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse... Oh, I'm trying to figure out where to start here. Verse 3. It says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, have taken nothing. Now watch this, this is great. Heard a great sermon on this years ago. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless. Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand this instruction. We have worked. It's not like Peter's not an experienced fisherman. I mean, he knows how to fish. And he's been doing it all night. And then the Lord says, Take the boat out, throw your net over here. And Peter says, I don't know why you're saying this. Because I've been fishing all my life, and I'm tired, and I've been fishing all night, and I haven't caught anything. But, nevertheless, just because you said it, I'm going to do it. You know what that is? That's faith. That's faith. I don't understand the why. I don't understand the circumstances. I don't even understand the instruction. I don't even know why you're telling me to do this. But because you said it, I'm going to do it. That's faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You said it. Nevertheless, hey, I have all kinds of objections to this instruction. I have all kinds of experience contrary to this instruction. I've been fishing my whole life, and this stuff, it isn't going to work to throw the net on the other side. I know that because I've been doing this my whole life. Nevertheless, I got all these reasons not to obey, but nevertheless, because you said it, I'm going to obey. That's faith. That is someone who doesn't understand they don't understand the consequence of the next instruction. All Peter understands is throw your net on the other side, and that's it. And that's doable. Just enough light to just do the next thing. It's just like the Lord is like I hate to bring him down to this level, but it's just like headlights on your car. You've driven at night. You'll drive tonight. Probably some of you will drive tonight. Your headlights don't go all the way to your destination. Some of you driving to Kennedy tonight, your headlights don't go from Beeville to Kennedy. You know where they go? Just where they need to go. Just so you can see where you're going. You know what the Word of God is? He says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's it. That's it. I don't know why. I don't know the whys of all this. I don't know the answers to all the questions. And because of that, it's really not my job to put God on trial, because I don't have all the information he has. I don't know. But I do have enough information to just be faithful. Just take the next step. Just do what I'm supposed to do. If I live in why God, if you live in why God, you can't live faithfully interrogating God about why he does and allows what he allows. That's not trust. That's bitterness, maybe. It turns to bitterness. It can be anger. And granted, I mean, really, really, there are things that go on in life that it's okay to say they're just unjust. They're just not right. It's not right. Solomon says it. I mean, he says, there's a time for everything. There's a time to be born, a time to die. There's a time for this, a time for that, a time to pick up rocks, a time to put rocks down. There's a time for all this stuff. It's a time for every purpose. But you know what's unjust about life is things don't always happen in their time. Sometimes children aren't born when they're supposed to be born. Sometimes they're supposed to be born 9 months and they're only born 5 months. Sometimes, and almost all of you have probably experience with this, sometimes moms and dads bury their children, and that's not supposed to happen. Children are supposed to bury their parents. You know what that is? That's things that happen outside of their time frame. And you know what happens when things happen outside of their time frame? They're bitter. They hurt. This thing is okay. It's okay if it happens in the time frame it's supposed to happen. But man, you yank that thing out of its time frame and cram it over here, man, it makes it hard. It makes it hard to swallow. And that stuff goes on all the time. It goes on all the time. And your job and my job is patience, faithfulness, and avoid, because the devil is a master at it, and he will frame this thing up so God looks like the worst being in history. So he just looks like a terrible creator. He has no idea what he's doing. He just threw all this stuff out there, and now people are killing each other. I mean, just crazy. That's the devil's framework. But it's our job, your job, my job. God gave us some light, and he says, look, just listen to what I'm telling you. I give you enough light to take the next step. I'm not going to give you light for the whole thing. I mean, that would probably create a lot of chaos. I mean, if just run that illustration again. if all of our cars shine their headlights all the way to the destination, yeah, I mean, it would be so much light out there. It would just be, I don't know, it would be chaos. It seemed like it would be chaos. I don't know. It just seemed like it would be chaos. But it is just enough in this dark world take the next step, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Job's example of patience, going back to Job, you don't have to look at it, but going back to Job, Job goes through all that stuff. I mean, he goes through stuff that just, it is just mind-boggling what he goes through. He goes through all that stuff and he wonders why. You know why? Because it's natural to ask why. It's natural to get mad. It's natural to just say, why God? Why is this happening to me? But be careful you don't live in that. And if you live in that, you cannot live a faithful life serving God while being bitter at God with why. You can't do it. Ultimately, here's what it boils down to. I either trust God or I just don't trust God. I either trust what God said or I just don't trust Him. And when I don't trust Him, that's when I start to accuse Him, and that's when I start to get mad at Him and get angry and bitter towards Him. The only answer, you may never get an answer to your why. We may never have an answer to the why. But having an answer to the why isn't necessarily needed. And I'll show you why. Here's the last verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1, 12. Here it is. 2 Timothy 1:12. Second Timothy 1:12 says, "For the which cause I also suffered these things." Here's Paul writing from prison. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Here it is. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You know, the question isn't really why. The question is who? Who? If I know who I've believed in. Paul says, look, Paul doesn't give a big dissertation on this happened because of this and this happened because of this. Paul just simply says, sitting in prison, having served God faithfully, waiting to be killed for his faith, Paul says in prison, not why God, he says, "I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." The only question you and I really need to answer, ultimately, we really need to answer, is who? Who? Not why. Not why. Why can get us in trouble. It makes you and I, we start to compare our lives. We start to, well, that guy didn't have the same experience I did. That guy has more money than I. You know, the world thrives on that type of envy and that type of comparison. That guy's got the truck, that guy's got the clothes, they got the jewelry, they got the money, they got this, they got that, they got this, got the shoes, they got that. I got to have that, I got to have that, I got to have that. And Paul says, you got to be careful with that stuff. That's not wise. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. The first thing we read, Hebrews 11. You just read at the end of Hebrews 11, all of these vastly different experiences. And the Lord said, that's all faith. This all happened in faith. This guy, this poor man served me, and he was sawn asunder. This lady served me and watched her child raised from the dead. Why can't this guy watch his child be raised from the dead? No, this guy is going to be put in prison because he trusted me. And this one over here, this guy is going to be king because he trusted me. Man, we start looking at these things and saying, why isn't my life like that? Because the ultimate basis for that question is, Lord, I should be treated better than I'm being treated right now. Lord, I deserve more than you're giving me right now. And the reality is, I don't deserve any more. In fact, I'm not even grateful for the stuff I have. That question, I understand it's a natural question. It's a natural thing to wonder, why does this happen? And I think more and more as we watch the things that go on in the world and America and all that kind of stuff, and just why? And the Lord says, look, just you and I are not going to successfully hold God accountable for things and also trust God for the next step in our lives. Either we trust Him or we just don't trust Him. We either believe Him or we're mad at Him. We either yield to what He said, like Peter, nevertheless, I've got 100 reasons why this makes no sense. Nevertheless, Lord, because you said it, I'm going to do that. You know, that's the who. I know who I have believed in, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. If you have the who, you know what? If you have the who, I'll often say it. If you have the who, you don't need the why. If you have the who, you don't need the why. Because you know what? You just trust the who. I trust the who. I trust Jesus Christ. He knows what He's doing. And I don't. It's one thing to say what I'm saying right now. It's one thing to say it from the pulpit, and you know there's stuff going on, but you know it's just life and all that. It's another thing to say it in trials. But whether I'm in a trial or whether it's just in the pulpit right now, it stands true. Either trust Him. I don't trust Him. Either I'm going to judge God, or I'm going to just let God be the judge. Either I'm going to put God on trial, or I'm going to allow God to put me on trial. Ultimately, He's the one that does the trying. The Lord trieth the hearts. So I think it's a pertinent question. I think it's something we all deal with. I think it's something you got to be careful with, because you'll read through your Bible. Just like I have, you'll read through your Bible, and seldom, if any, will you find God just laying out an explanation, just a complete explanation of why something happened. What you'll get a lot of times is, just listen to what I'm telling you to do, and do that, and just keep doing what I'm telling you to do. And that's the light you got. Stay faithful. Here's patience. Do right in trouble. Do right in trouble. Just keep doing right. Keep doing right. I want this to be an encouragement. I hope it's an encouragement. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm trying to talk down to anyone or anything like that. I was just thinking about it this afternoon, and it's something that's been pertinent in our lives. It's something pertinent in my life. It's been pertinent in your life. I'm sure you've had these questions. But I hope it's an encouragement. If you have the who, you don't need the why. You don't need the why. You got the one that holds the whole thing in His hand. You got the right person.